What's happening next week? The kids are back at school. Come on, all you parents say, yay! It's the end of what many people in Australia call the silly season. And it goes from when the kids break up to the end of the holidays, the Christmas period. The silly season's over. In some ways, I agree with that terminology, and you'll find out why shortly. But there's an old Christmas song that calls people together as families. I'm coming home for Christmas. Most of you know it. It's also been used with some major supermarkets to promote families coming together at Christmas. They're not promoting that. They're promoting their products and want you to buy their food and stuff, making money. You're all probably well aware of them. They seem to bring a special meaning to the population in general of what Christmas is all about at this time of the year. But I ask why. And I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't get together as families at Christmas, please. But why? Why is it extra special to have family gatherings at Christmas? Isn't it just as good to have family gatherings the rest of the year? Yes? It's important, isn't it? And why all the special food? If you ask someone about this, the simple answer will be, why have you got all the special food and why have you got the family together? They will say, oh, it's Christmas. And so logically, the next question is to ask them, what is Christmas? And 95% of the people, general population, will say something like this. Christmas is a special time when families get together to spread love and joy and to give and receive gifts. You know what? If you keep asking the same question, you're going to go around in circles. Why? So, Christmas is a time for families to be together. Why? Because it's Christmas. What is Christmas? Oh, it's a time for families to be together. And it goes on and on. The silly season. In a few decades, indeed in my lifetime, the message of Christmas has been diluted so much that most of the population under the age of 25 have no idea concerning the real meaning of Christmas, the coming of God to be with his creation. And these people that do not know the real message of Christmas have the audacity to say, and what's Jesus got to do with Christmas? People need to realize the message of Christmas. Why? Because it's relevant every day of the year. Amen? Every day of the year, that message is relevant. It doesn't finish on Boxing Day. Today, I want us to look at the Gospel of John, towards the end of the Gospel, where most believers do focus on Jesus' pending death and resurrection, and quite rightly so. However, the message of Christmas comes through loud and clear in the words between Jesus and Pilate. It's in John chapter 18, as Jesus comes before Pilate prior to being crucified. I want to read it. I'm reading from the Message version. You'll understand why shortly. Pilate, and it happens just after, and you all know the story about when Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times. This is immediately after that. Pilate went back into the palace and called for Jesus. He said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did someone tell you this about me?" Pilate said, "Do I look like a Jew? Your people and your high priest turned you over to me. What did you do?" "My kingdom," said Jesus, "doesn't consist of what we see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to you, to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king, not the world's kind of king." Then Pilate said, "So are you a king or not?" Jesus answered, "You tell me. Because I am a king, I was born and entered the world so that I could witness to the truth. Everyone who cares for truth, who has any feeling for the truth, recognizes my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" I read over that last part very quickly, but we'll come back to that as well. Peter had just denied that he knew Jesus, as we said before. Before we take a look at that word truth, it's important to understand that Pilate was very keen when Jesus talked about truth. He wanted to know what truth was. But before we look at that word, let's first of all see what was happening leading up to that. What Jesus declares. The Jewish leaders were taken aback. They have this man called Jesus. He was a subverter of their so-called laws and did everything they thought that was against their laws. And they wanted him put to death. And they didn't want to get on the wrong side of the Roman authorities, Pilate in particular. And so they brought charges against Jesus. And you all know about those as well. And they said to Pilate, "Look, he tells us that he's king of the Jews." As far as Pilate was concerned, declaring yourself as a king wasn't a crime. So what? But he was in an awkward position. He'd been sent there to rule over the people. And they were very angry. So he calls Jesus to him, calls him into his presence, and begins to ask him these questions. Here's a very important question, and speaks to the foundation of the meaning of Christmas, if you like, right at the end of the Gospel of John. "Are you king of the Jews?" he says. Jesus said, "Yes, but not the type of king that you have in this world. Not the type of king that you normally see. My kingdom doesn't consist of the things you see around you." And this is where I like the Message version. And Roger put me onto this. Not this particular passage, but Roger encouraged me to use this as well. So blame him, please. The Message version, because in verse 37, and it doesn't have the verses, but the equivalent of verse 37, removes the A and encapsulates the truth in contemporary language. Pilate says, "Are you a king or not?" And as Jesus commences to elaborate the reason for him being born, his ministry, and what's about to happen, he says, "I am king." Did you notice there was an A missing when I read it the first time earlier on? Pilate says, "Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "No, I am king." The A is gone. I am king. I am not a king. I am the king. Now, there are many countries in the world that have monarchs, and I come from one of them, Queen Elizabeth II. And some of you have just returned from Thailand on the mission trip. They have a king in Thailand too. They're supreme rulers of their countries. In Great Britain, for instance, I don't know whether it's going to happen in Brexit, but the Queen has the authority to take control, if you like. She won't. She can dissolve Parliament and run the country directly herself. It won't happen, but the power is there. The authority is there, if she chooses. However, she has no jurisdiction or no rule over Thailand and other countries that have kings or queens. She's just one of many monarchs. She's simply a monarch. A monarch. By missing the A, Jesus says, I am the King. Now, I know that the A is included in some of the translations that you're looking at right now. But I choose to use the Message because I believe in contemporary language, this is what's coming through. I am the King. And like the kings that came to the birth to see Jesus in the manger, they came to worship the King, not a king. And we too need to let people know at Christmas time that we worship the King, not a king. The King of Kings being born into this world. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There is none with more authority, none with more power, none with more wisdom, none with more compassion, none with more love, none with more forgiveness. He is everything. He is above all. He is in all. He is all. He is King. Question for us today. Is he King in your life? Secondly, in his conversation with Pilate, Jesus goes on to say, I am King and I was born into the world to reveal truth. Jesus Christ was born into the world, born, the Christmas message, God coming to his creation, and celebrates that Christmas message celebrates the Immaculate Conception, his birth in the manger, heavenly activity involving shepherds and foreign kings, angelic joy, God entering into humanity in human form, Emmanuel, God with us. That message is relatively new in the understanding of people. I wonder if you realize that before the Reformation in 1517 or 18, whenever it was, most people could not read or write. Only a few privileged humans could read and write. Thus began a time of history that changed Western civilization, in fact, much of the world. It ushered in a time when the Bible, this book in its old form, became the textbook that helped people read and write. And then, of course, it was translated into many different languages. It was the number one source of learning. And with that came faith in Jesus. With that came the understanding of the Christmas message, of the Easter message. And as our civilization grew and as our governments formed, they took those true messages, the truth, and formed them into public holidays. The Christmas holiday, the Easter holiday, wasn't meant just for people to get together and have a great time. It was meant to celebrate God. What great songs we had today. Thank you. Particularly the word soul. In most of those songs, it is well with my soul. And in 10,000 reasons, a soul in that as well. I'm digressing now, I know. Jesus said, I was born to reveal truth. The word truth is used over 50 times in the Gospel of John. So it's a vital part of his message. And of course, we know the message of John. The reason that John's Gospel was written is outlined in chapter 20 and verse 31. Who knows what it is? Just in layman's language. Apart from the pastor. So that you will believe and have eternal life in him. The reason John was written. And as Jesus speaks the word of truth to Pilate, he encapsulates his birth, the ministry up to that point. The sole reason for his birth and life is about to be revealed in his death and resurrection. And so we ask the same question as Pilate asked. What is truth? What is truth? And in understanding this passage, we should extend the question to not only what is truth, but who is truth? So what's truth? Let's be very clear. It's an absolute. Truth is an absolute. We cannot say, oh, it's not what I think or perceive it to be. I don't think that's true. It's not anything we choose it to be. It's not like, similar. That word like, that's another time for that word like. It's not similar. It's actual. Truth is absolute. I cannot throw a stone into the sky and think, oh, I believe it's going to stay there. It'll come down. Gravity. Who's heard of Usman Khawaja? Come on. He's a cricketer. Oh, just one. And several of you, yes. If he was playing at the Gabba and he whacks a ball high into the sky, thousands and thousands of people watching him and everybody on the ground playing the game, they don't stand still and say, oh, don't think that's coming down. No, someone catches it or it goes over for a six. And yet, we often hear people say, I don't believe in God. I have my own beliefs. Christmas is what I make it. The ball will stay up there. No. Christmas is about God who is absolute. It's about God who is truth. The answer to the question, of course, is that we need to look back into Genesis and see when God created humankind, he created them with a free will, with a mind, with a soul. And we all know the narrative where Adam and Eve chose. They used their free will and they chose to do their own thing instead of following God and having fellowship with God. And they took the rest of humanity with them. And the Bible calls it for what it really is. Truly, it's sin. It says, oh, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And here's where the question about truth begins to be answered. God had a plan to turn that around, to put right what Adam and Eve had done in taking mankind out of fellowship with God. He had a plan to reverse it. to turn the situation around, to redeem mankind once and for all, and have that close fellowship with the ones he created. And so being created with a mind, a free will, a soul, we can choose to follow. This is very important. Being created the way we are with a mind, a free will, we can choose to follow a king or the king. Truth. Truth. Truth is at the core of who our God is. And therefore Jesus, God in the flesh, is truth. Jesus declared that to his disciples in this very gospel in chapter 14 when he says, I am, and Mike, this is Mike's favorite verse, and I know it's probably many others, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. Our society has been influenced away from that in such a way to ignore all of these facts and have our society in general has unconsciously taken on all of the I can only say, and I rubbish from other beliefs. Buddhism, for instance, teaches that the way to end suffering is by overcoming your desires. In other words, by overcoming that which God placed in us at the beginning, a mind, a free will, a soul. Islam teaches that in order to follow God, Allah, you've got to be obeying the founder's rules and regulations. And then, of course, who's heard of Cobain, Kurt Cobain? Committed suicide many years ago in a nihilistic way. Nihilism is the belief that life is meaningless, and certainly no truth in that. Jesus says in 8:32 that the truth will set you free. Jesus will set you free from sin and separation from God. That's the truth Jesus was born to reveal. And that's the truth of who he is. And somehow, I think when he was talking to Pilate, I think Pilate clicked on. I think he understood. That's why he said, what is truth? What about you? What about me? Many of you know that I've got a laundry business. And I get my stuff from laundry on the north side at Jibang. There's a young Samoan guy there by the name of Isaac. He goes to a church on the north side of Brisbane. I don't know which church it is. And you know me, I'm always upfront with people. I know that he goes to church. And so I just came out straight and asked him about 2 weeks before Christmas. I said, Isaac, you're a nice bloke. You go to church. What does Christmas mean to you? This guy is just 20. His answer was profound for one so young. What does Christmas mean to you? He simply said to me, Easter. And I praise the Lord. Wow. A few weeks ago, Pastor Johnny was preaching. That was before Christmas too, wasn't it? Time flies. He preached on Matthew 28:19. Go into all the world and preach and teach and baptize. I want to join with his encouragement today to all of us by challenging us to do the same. Sure, people are going to respond with excuses when we start talking to them and when we want them to know the truth. They're going to respond that they don't want to know the truth. But you know what? God gave all humans, and it doesn't matter whether they receive what you're communicating to them or not. God created them in a way that they can choose. God never, ever comes to someone and twists their arm up their back and says, hey, come to me. Does it in a gentle way and allows humans to choose. So when someone says to you something like, oh, I celebrate Christmas my own way, or I have my own beliefs, that's them using their choice. But look, in your innermost being, there's time to start praying and praising the Lord and saying, Lord, do something with them. Challenge them. Reveal truth to them. You know, we've got the greatest message there is for mankind. It's the message of Christmas every day of the year. Truth revealed for the salvation of all. Let's not wait for the new building. Let's start. Let's be telling people that every day of the year. As many as we can. As many as we can. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are truth. That your message to the world is absolute. It cannot be challenged. And so, Father, I pray that as we as a church continue this year to reach out, we'll be able to talk truth to people. Not only what truth is, but who truth is. And I pray you'll do that for all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.